Support for Commodity Week Online comes from Strategic Farm Marketing, now offering a fall look-back option that will add 50 cents per bushel to your revenue claim. Details at sfarmmarketing.com.
From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of February, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. We'll take a look at the agricultural energies with GrowMark's Harry Cooney, discuss the weather forecast with Don Day, and take up all of the events we have scheduled for this week. Up first, Kankakee this evening, the ag panel. That one has been canceled for the second time, so no ag panel in Kankakee this evening. Tomorrow at the Pork Expo, we'll be there at 10:30 a.m. as long as we can make it from here in Urbana-Champaign all the way to Peoria. That should happen tomorrow for the Pork Expo, and then we'll be in DeKalb on the following day at the Center for Agriculture, sponsored by Castle Bank in Sycamore, Illinois, and that one is still on. So this evening, the ag panel canceled, that one for the second time. Tomorrow's ag panel is still on for the Pork Expo in Peoria, and so is the panel scheduled for Castle Bank at Sycamore's Center for Agriculture. That's the Farm Bureau building just near DeKalb, Illinois. Now, let's get on with today's edition of the Closing Market Report. Well, a few numbers to report to you this afternoon. We'll start in Washington, D.C., as opposed to at the CME Group in Chicago, where the United States Senate, within the last 4 minutes, passed the Farm Bill legislation. It's now passed the Farm Bill legislation at a vote of 68-4 and 32 against. That legislation will go to the president's desk. He is expected to sign the new Farm Bill for a five-year run from 2014 until 2019. The numbers in Chicago finished up like this for a Tuesday afternoon. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $5.84.5, up 20 and 3 quarters for the day. May futures at $5.86 and 3 quarters, up 21. And July soft red at $5.90, up 20 and a quarter. Hard red at $6.46.5, 22 and a quarter higher in the March. July at $6.30.5, up 20 cents. March corn at $4.41 and 3 quarters, up 6. May at $4.47.5, up 5 and 3 quarters. In July, 4.52 and 3 quarters, up 6 cents. September, 4.55 and a half, up 6 and a half. And December corn at $4.59 and a half, up 6 and a half cents. July of next year at 4.76 and 3 quarters, up 5 and 3 quarters higher. And the March contract of next year at 5.68, up 3 quarters, rather up 6 cents for the day. March soybean, $13.13 and a quarter cents, up 20 and a half cents. May at $12.97 and a half, up 19 and a quarter. And July futures for the day, they finished at $12.79.5, up 17 and a quarter. November beans at $11.10.5, up 2 cents. This is Illinois Public Media. Bean meal futures for the day at $447, were $13 higher. March bean oil at $37.71, up 26 cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby April at $138.90, down 50. March feeders at $166.97.5, or $1.02.5 lower. And lean hogs at $85.22.5, finished 35 cents higher on the afternoon.
WILL programming is made possible by the Illinois Pork Producers. Todd Gleason will present a Market Outlook Roundtable featuring Steve Meyer, Tom Fitzenmeyer, and Jackie Fakes on February 5th during the Illinois Pork Expo at the Peoria Civic Center. All farmers welcome. More info at ilpork.com.
Here's what the weather forecast is saying about the might drive tomorrow and this evening as well. Don't forget our Kankakee Ag Outlook panel has been scheduled and canceled twice now. It will not happen tonight. But as far as we know, the Pork Expo should go on. There is a winter storm warning, however. All the way through noon tomorrow, the timing of that snow should begin late this afternoon, already has, from Canton to Lincoln to Taylorville and Southwest. That'll spread across the remainder of central Illinois during the early afternoon. The snow will become widespread, heavier during mid and late afternoon across all of central Illinois. Continue much of tonight before diminishing later tomorrow morning. Blowing and drifting snow will begin to occur by late evening and continue into Wednesday morning. The accumulations are expected to be between 2 to 4 inches of snow by sunset today. By the time the snow ends tomorrow morning, a total of 6 to 8 inches will have accumulated in much of the area, with locally higher amounts along a Rushville to Danville line in areas north and northwest of Peoria. Storm totals of 5 to 6 inches will be more common. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather. He, of course, is in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the Farm Bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We always talk with Wayne Nelson. He is in New Market, Indiana, at L&M Commodities. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, have you gotten snowfall there yet?
It's starting to snow. We probably got an inch down this afternoon on top of what we had left from Sunday. So it's supposed to get white. We're supposed to be in the 6 to 8 inches. So could be a little slippery come later this evening.
More snow, more wind, and I guess we'll continue to do what we do, and that's to move forward one way or the other, isn't it?
That's right.
And so just a couple of reminders. The Kankakee Will Ag panel that was scheduled for this evening, and it was a reschedule, has been canceled once again. I suppose they'll try to put that one in. And then tomorrow, as best I know, we will be at the Pork Expo in Peoria, though I'm going to put right here in Champaign. And hope that this thing ends early enough in the evening tonight or tomorrow morning that they get the interstate between here and there cleared off. We'll try to make that run. And then you and I will be headed to DeKalb, Wayne, on Thursday to the Sycamore Illinois Center for Agriculture. That's the Illinois Farm Bureau building for a Castle Bank event. And Dan Blasey and you, Jackie Vakes, will be there, too. Should be fun.
Be a lot of fun, you know, very nice facilities, and looking forward to seeing a lot of people up in that area that we know and recognize and talked to many times before.
So numbers that we need to get through, 68 to 32. The United States Senate passed the Farm Bill this afternoon. I don't know that we have much to say about that at the moment. I'll have more on it from Charles Grassley's discussion earlier today and a little bit from Jonathan Kappas about whether this thing can actually make WTO mustard or not later in this program. But the Farm Bill has passed the Senate, has passed the House, and now it's off to the President of the United States, and I suppose he will sign it. That's where all signs point, isn't it?
It looks like that's going to be what will happen. And, you know, also along the way, one of the things mentioned in the Wall Street Journal was that there's stipulations for hemp growing in Kentucky and a few states along with this farm bill.
Yep.
Something new and different.
Well, something new and different, but we did grow a lot of hemp at one time in this country for rope, and that was actually for rope, and they needed it for the seamen and the Navy guys that
World War I, if I remember correctly.
During
the war.
Yeah. So nothing different than we haven't done before, and they'll probably have all kinds of cultivars that they can use for interesting and wonderful things. I'm going to go with that.
There are sort of interesting and wonderful things we saw today in the market, Todd.
What'd you see?
Well, we saw beans up 20 cents, corn up 6 cents, and, you know, the wheat up 20 cents. You know, greatly diminished crop ratings on the wheat. This cold weather coming in again, and that spurred the wheat up market, of course. The bean meal that you talked about rallying so much there spurred the bean market. And the corn market, just this kind of weather, lack of movement, ethanol plants going strong, and farmers are somewhat tight holders here now. But we did notice that the cash connected brokers were somewhat active sellers in the cash and the corn and the beans here today. Saw a little bit of extra country movement with these prices today.
Prices popped the country movement. Does that tell you that most people are still thinking a little longer term and what this might mean in terms of total number of acres in the United States that are available to plant to all crops and what kind and size crops might be coming out of South America and both might look big for the 2014 season?
I think they do look big for the 14 season, Todd. I think that, you know, South America, we start off a little dry and a little warm in some areas, but, you know, they're getting some pretty good, decent weather down there now. There's a few areas that might see a little flooding and a little bit of dry stress, but all in all, tremendous crops out of South America. And, you know, just the switch on whether we're going to switch as many acres over to beans away from corn this next year, not yet to be seen. And, you know, the little bounce back in the Dease corn today gives us a little hope that we might not lose quite as many corn acres.
What's your expectation for the export market for the corn in the next month?
Well, I think that, you know, as long as we stay, as we don't rally too much here, you know, we're going to stay fairly active. I look for that and look for the ethanol plants to keep doing as long as our ethanol exports can keep up to par like they have been doing. So, you know, the corn is going to keep moving on through, but we still got, you know, a big extra supply of corn out there. So don't look for the corn price to go too high.
Is it a sideways market, sideways to higher, sideways to lower? We just don't know yet.
I think we're in a sideways to higher right now until we get just a little further down the road past some of these weather problems as far as moving inventory goes. I think, you know, in that point in time when we start to get a little more looking to what the plantings are going to be, then we're going to probably tail off as we see the corn and beans go in the ground. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for right now, we're looking at what's happening down south of us, and the Argentine government saying that they want to maybe penalize some of the farmers for holding their grain that's hurting the Argentine economy. Sounded something sort of like blackmail.
Hey, speaking of not blackmail, but you mentioned the weather and these prices holding fairly well as long as we continue to have weather fronts that move through. I talked to Don Day already, and we'll hear it a bit later, and he tells me that it looks like about every 3 to 4 days for at least a couple of weeks we're going to see a weather front and more snow come in. So I suppose that might be a good indication that prices would remain at least strong.
I think, you know, the basis levels are going to stay good. These cash people are wanting to get some, you know, inventory in. It hasn't been coming in fast because of this. Talked to 3 or 4 farmers today that said, you know, my legs froze up. I'd like to be moving corn. I'm here. I'm doing this. I can't move what I'd like to be moving now. So, you know, there's difficulties out here. And the basis levels and the prices will probably hold together as long as that weather stays like that.
All right. Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Doc.
That is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on this Tuesday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, a whole series of things to take you through. First one is that the United States Senate, on a vote of 68-32, passed the farm legislation that had been working its way through Congress and was passed by the House last week, off to the president's desk now, and it should be signed into law and become the farm bill for the next 5 years. Tonight's presentation, the Will Ag Marketing Panel, scheduled for Kankakee, has been canceled. Tomorrow, the Crop Management Conference, scheduled for the iHotel here in Champaign, was canceled yesterday. Only the first day was canceled. Actually, it was canceled and then rescheduled. So those two-day event will be on not Wednesday and Thursday of this week, but Thursday and Friday. So don't show up tomorrow, but do show up on Thursday at the Ohio Hotel for the Crop Management Conference. That's scheduled by U of I Extension. And then the Wednesday folks that are scheduled to speak will speak on Friday. So that event is still 2 days now on Thursday and Friday, with the Wednesday guys speaking on Friday of this week. The Pork Expo continues in Peoria at the Civic Center. We are scheduled to be there tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. I'm rather hopeful that the snow will end and not blow too much overnight, and we'll be able to get there tomorrow morning. Jackie Vakes and a whole bunch of other folks will be along. If you want to come to the Pork Expo tomorrow and you can make it, that would be fantastic. Our John Deere bus trip is getting close to filling up. If you want to go, call this number, 217-333-7300. Remember, we're taking off the 10th of March, and we'll travel the 10th, the evening of, the 11th and the 12th, and we'll be back the 12th, to Moline and then to Waterloo, where we'll see the combines being made in the plant in the Quad cities. We'll go to the tractor plant in Waterloo. We'll have lunch at the headquarters building in Moline on that Wednesday, rather on that Tuesday. And we'll also be able to discuss what John Deere has in mind for the future of their company. So that should be a good trip, about $550. We need to know by this Friday whether you plan to go or not. And if we have enough folks to go, we'll go. If we don't, we'll try something else a little later. I'm always game for a bus trip and a little travel. It's what I like to do, and I hope that you'd like to come along with me. But you need to call and get that one scheduled. Otherwise, we won't. But we're really close to making that. So if you're on the edge and you want to come along, 217-333-7300 is the number to call there. Also, if you happen to call that number, you might also sign up for our all-day Ag Outlook. That's scheduled for the fourth day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. All of our analysts, or most of them, will be there. Murray Wise will be along to talk about what the land values might look like in the coming year as well. The all-day Ag Outlook, this year it's just $30, but for that $30, you get more than you usually do, more than the bargain normally, because this is our 25th anniversary. And you'll get a 25th anniversary hat just for signing up and coming over to the Beef House for our all-day Ag Outlook. The phone number to call on that one is 217-333-7300. Do it today.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Now up next this morning, Farm State Republican Senator Charles Grassley rose this morning in opposition of the Farm Bill. He implored his colleagues to vote against the legislation because it does not include the payment limits the Farm State legislator has long championed. Limits, he says, both the Senate and House approved, but which were changed in conference.
This intentional change by the conference committee allows each farmer to get significantly more from these new countercyclical programs that are not even World Trade Organization, or as we say around here, WTO compliant.
Grassley concedes he expects the farm legislation to pass into law, but reminded his colleagues Senate rules were violated by the conference committee.
Rule 28 of the United States Senate says that if things are the same in both houses, they should not be conferenceable. I say this to my friends, not that this bill is going to go down to defeat and we start over again, maybe accomplish what I want to accomplish, but to make sure that other conferences don't abuse the Senate rule like this conference abused the Senate rule, and also to tell my colleagues here that both working with what rules maybe we can get through the U.S. Department of Agriculture or on some other piece of legislation, I intend to pursue these goals that I sought, and I intend to keep reminding my colleagues of Senate rules being violated by conferees that should not have been violated. I yield the floor.
That's Iowa Republican Charles Grassley speaking from the floor of the United States Senate this morning. He rose in opposition to the Farm Bill because it included payment limits 150% greater than either chamber had initially approved. One of the questions Senator Grassley raised this morning from the chamber was whether or not this Farm Bill, if it becomes law, would be WTO compliant. He thinks maybe not, based on a series of issues. University of Illinois Farm Policy Specialist Jonathan Kappas says WTO compliance may depend on the mood of just one nation and on one crop, cotton.
So the key for the WTO issue is whether Brazil's happy. I mean, at the end of the day, the agreement reached back in 2009-2010 between the administration and Brazil that kind of put the retaliation on pause was that the 2012 Farm Bill, now the 14 Farm Bill, funny how time flies like that, that would resolve it, that Congress would take the steps necessary to address the concerns that the Brazilian farmers had, and by doing that, then they would settle out the dispute. And so the key is whether or not Brazil considers the changes for the cotton program to be sufficient to address their concerns and thereby reach a settlement with the United States that gets rid of this dispute. You know, throughout this process, there has been extensive work with Brazil. USDA has done a lot of education of the Brazilian cotton farmers and of their the members of the government that have been involved in this WTO dispute to explain the insurance program, explain how it works, some of the significant differences from the programs that were the focus of the dispute, which was at that time a target price, mostly the counter-cyclical program. You know, that insurance is wholly different. These are farmers putting skin in the game. They only get assistance when there's a loss. In this case, it's on a county level, so it's not actually tied to the individual farm. So there's some mitigating factors, if you will, some things that Brazil can point to say this is no longer this subsidy market distorting program. Throughout the process, they got more comfortable with it. They would never say Brazil would never come out and say this is enough or this is exactly where we want it to be. They kind of held their cards back a little bit on that. There were adjustments made to the marketing loan rate for cotton to help address this as well. And so there's kind of this whole series of things that were undertaken in this bill to try and get us to that settlement point. Now the administration and the Brazilians are going to have to sit down and make sure they're at a good place to settle. But I'm optimistic. I think at the end of the day, the trade war, the trade retaliation, and the many, many years of this dispute and the serious effort that has been undertaken to change cotton programs will get them to the table and get them to a point where they can hopefully settle this.
The United States Senate, of course, passed the Farm Bill after the noon hour today on a vote of 68-32. The president is expected to sign it into law. USDA and FSA will get to work on implementation, and it's very likely we'll know sooner rather than later if the Brazilian government believes it to be fair enough to stop having the United States pay restitution for the previous Farm Bill's cotton program WTO violations.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's check in on the agricultural energies now on the phone line. Harry Cooney, he's at GrowMark, where he's in the energy risk management team. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I've been checking all afternoon. It was snowing in or near Crawfordsville, Indiana. It is snowing quite nicely here. How about in Bloomington Normal?
Well, in Bloomington, there's nothing going on just yet. It looks like on radar we should be getting it, but I guess fortunately in a way that we're not just yet, but it must not be too far away.
Let's start with propane stocks for the afternoon.
Well, propane stocks, this propane market has been a red-hot topic when we go out to meetings and things, and we knew that after the grain drying season in the fall and after the cold winter that stocks are getting drawn down. In fact, stocks right now in the Midwest are the tightest they've been since back in the 1990s. So stocks are tight. We will make it through the season. We won't run out of propane, and of course that's the job of the market to be able to take care of that tight supply-demand situation. Obviously, prices in propane have come up, and obviously that is being witnessed at the end-user level. But the market's just doing what it needs to do to balance this very tight situation out there, and then we'll have to see what we come out of at the end of the winter with what stocks on hand, and then get building stocks back in the summertime. So, again, we won't run out. We're going to get kind of close, and that's what's keeping the market pretty nervous here over the past couple of weeks.
You tell me gasoline stocks are up, diesel stocks are low. What do the seasonal price studies tell you?
Well, that's right. Gasoline stocks have remained pretty high compared to normal, but diesel stocks are down, and the seasonal studies sure suggest a rally in gasoline and diesel prices from here out into springtime.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney with GrowMark joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the forecast.
It's National Cookie Day. It's also St. Barbara Day, patron of brewers, hatters, sailors, and storms. On this day in agricultural history in 1812, the power mower was patented, the horse-drawn mower was granted before patents were numbered, and was lost in the Great Patent Office fire of 1836. In 1816, Benjamin Stillman was born, an American chemist. It was his reporting on the potential uses of crude oil products that gave impetus to plans for drilling the first U.S. producing oil well. In 1864, John Fowler died, an English engineer. He invented the steam hull plow and several other special use plows. During a business trip to Ireland, he witnessed a famine which followed the failure of 2 years of potato crops. He returned to England determined to use steam power to drain land. The result was his mull drainage plow, shown at the Great Exhibition of 1851. In 1867, National Grange was founded. It was the first organized agricultural movement in the U.S. and tasked with uniting private citizens in improving the economic and social position of the nation's farm population. And in 1970, Cesar Chavez was jailed in California for refusing to cancel a United Farm Workers lettuce boycott. And that's this day in agricultural history.
WILL programming is made possible by the Illinois Pork Producers. Todd Gleason will present a Market Outlook Roundtable featuring Steve Meyer, Tom Fitzenmeyer, and Jackie Fakes on February 5th during the Illinois Pork Expo at the Peoria Civic Center. All farmers welcome. More info at ilpork.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day, a day weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us to take a look at the forecast. Don, let's start here in the Midwest. Snow expected in great amounts for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I tell you, we are in a weather pattern that is really going to stay very, very busy. And while we may not see the extreme colds that we've had here lately, what we're now going to be sort of trading that for is a pattern that coast to coast is going to be producing quite a few storms, not just one, but we see several opportunities over the next couple of weeks for more systems to move through, more opportunities for snow, especially the Midwest, the Ohio Valley, Mid-Atlantic, and the Northeast.
How often will they come? Every 2 or 3 days?
Yeah, they're about maybe 3 or 4 days spaced apart. The one silver lining out of all of this is that this type of pattern does lend itself that some of the real dry areas of the Pacific Northwest, Central and Northern California, they're actually going to start to see some rain and snow finally. But those systems are what are going to be heading towards the nation's midsection. And as they come into the nation's midsection, they tap into that cold air and they kind of blow up and turn into these major snow events.
Well, the good news, I suppose, is that it doesn't snow when it's really, 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 really cold. So maybe it'll be a little warmer than it has been or not.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at temperatures overall, they're still going to be averaging below normal. But we're not going to see the extreme cold that we had. But, you know, when you look at the pattern for this month of February, we're going to end up month of February for many areas much colder than normal. But when you compare it to the last couple of weeks, relatively speaking, it just won't be as cold. But unless you're a really big fan of winter, this is not a forecast that you're probably going to like.
It's not. Let's turn our attention someplace where it's warmer, South America, where the Brazilians and the Argentines are in the midst of their growing season.
Yeah, and looking down south, it's going to be getting pretty warm across Brazil when it comes to precipitation. Best precipitation chances are definitely going to be in areas, actually, of Argentina. They are actually going to be favored the most here in the next week, while it will be a little bit drier in Brazil. The outlook has gotten a little bit better in South America. They're still, in some areas, suffering from some drier conditions. But at least here in the last couple of weeks, it's gotten a little bit better.
Hey, Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market.
866-837-9027.
Well, a couple of notes. The Kankakee Will Ag panel scheduled for this evening, that's actually a reschedule, has been canceled again. Don't go there. Tomorrow's Pork Expo should be a go. I'm going to try to make it over there by 10:30 in the morning. I hope to see you there, and then hope to see you as well, maybe, up at Sycamore at the Castle Bank event to be held at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the Center for Agriculture. That's the Farm Bureau building. Be safe. It should be snowing quite some time. Stay off the roads and make sure you protect all those animals.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.